Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
Oh, you just now unmuted me?
No, I didn't see you in the first place.
Oh, it just said unmuted in my ear. I didn't know if you heard me or not.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
we didn't last week, too.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Well, I'll start over again. Welcome to the URN Radio Show. I'm one of your hosts, the Mouth from the South, the Paranormal Outlaw, and joining me is Martin Bravo and Jeff, the Bitch Sterl.
Word.
I'm glad. You said word. Oh.
Oh, man.
Sound like Jeff don't even have strength to argue with you tonight.
No, he doesn't. Well, we could test that theory out. So the Texans lost today.
Yep, sure did.
Yeah, he's not in the arguing mood today.
Nice. Anything paranormal happened to y'all this week?
Well, paranormal? No, not me.
I've been, here's something weird, man. Like, I've noticed that the last couple of days, I've seen freaking cats in my house, man. Like, I have a couple cats, don't get me wrong, but, like, they have their own room, and we just go in there and hang out with them, right? Well, I was going in to feed the cats, and then I saw a black cat in the hallway looking up at me, and I looked back again, and it wasn't there, and I was like, what? And then again in my kitchen, I saw a black and white cat, and then I did a double take, and it wasn't there. So, I don't know what that's about. I never had like ghost animals in my house, I guess. But I don't even know if they're ghost animals. It could just be me being crazy.
Yeah.
I could be just losing my marbles, you know?
Yeah, I haven't had anything paranormal going on. I haven't done any investigations or anything, so.
Yeah.
I don't have any weird cats. I have a cat and a dog in the house, but they're actually real, so.
Right, right. Now, I mean, I have noticed, like, last year, it seemed like everything was, like, super paranormally charged, and it seems like so far here towards the end of the year, everything's pretty quiet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, it just seems like 2012 seemed a lot more active to me than 2013.
Yeah. I don't know, it's just, this time of year, it just seems like the energy in the air is always more charged because of the fact that, you know, humans in general, especially in the United States, you know, because we celebrate Halloween. Our state of mind is we want to get scared, you know, we want to go to these places and this, that,
oh,
and
yeah,
other.
Yeah.
So, as humans, we're putting out an energy, you know?
Oh, for real. And then you have, you know, Christmas coming up, and then everybody's, like, just so emotionally drained and charged up, and just all our biochemistry is off, you know? And then,
if you also think about this time of year, especially November, December, with the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, for spirits, for the spirit world, that's a time for them to visit their loved ones, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Are you asleep now?
No, I'm focused on a conversation I'm having with somebody.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, it must be something political.
No, it's not. I don't know if y'all know this or not. I'm a huge Texans. Everybody knows I'm a Texans fan. But Texans fans today showed so much of a lack of class that it made me embarrassed. The quarterback, Matt Schaub, got hurt, I think, in the third quarter of today's game. And the fans were cheering that he got hurt.
Holy crap.
Were they playing at home?
Yes.
Wow.
Was he doing a bad job?
Well, he's not had a good season. He's thrown 9 interceptions. But still.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you were my quarterback and you threw 9 interceptions, I'd be cheering when you broke your legs, too.
No, see. Sportsmanship is what at least for fans, that's what it should all be about. Not, you know, if we win, great. If we lose, oh, well, you know, move on. You got a life, or at least you should have a life.
Right.
So, and this one jerk, he's not on my, you know, list. He's, you know, in a common group. He's basically saying he's glad he got hurt and, you know.
See, I mean, that's not cool. I mean, I joke about it because, you know, that's how I am. But to be, like, legitimately glad that somebody got hurt, that's not,
yeah.
I mean, anybody, you know, that's not cool.
Wow.
So it's like
I'll try to keep my vocalization as quiet as I can during the radio show because I do have the Cowboys and Redskins game on right now, which is always
cool.
A rivalry game. So,
speaking of Redskins, y'all hear that they might be changing their name?
Yeah, there's a group of people that want that to happen.
Due to racial profiling?
All I could say is...
Well, if they do that, they're going to have to change a lot of names in the pro sports, like the Cleveland Indians.
If they do that...
Seminoles. I mean, there's a lot of that out there, and I think people need to focus on more important things than stupid names of teams.
This is actually a really good point to bring up because... I've noticed over the last course of the last couple of years that Americans seem to get like butthurt real easy, man. Like, no, I mean Americans like only white people or only black people. I'm talking about like all of America. Like, they seem to get like upset at things, you know, real easy and offended, and it's just like you can't even tell anybody anything anymore without somebody else, you know, running their mouth and crying about something.
Right.
If this group is successful in getting the Redskins to change their name, I'm going to petition a group to get the Cowboys to change their name because I live in Texas and I'm not a Cowboy.
Oh, yeah. That's a very valid point.
I don't know anybody in Texas who only rides horses. Everybody I know in Texas drives cars. They may ride horses on weekends, but that doesn't count.
You know, and what's funny about that is growing up in school, whenever we get, you know, a student come in from out of town and come to Texas for the first time, their mantra of what Texas is outside, you know, like Northeast, they think we all own ranches and still ride horses and stuff. And
I always thought
that was funny.
Yeah, I don't wear cowboy hats. I don't wear boots.
You know, take your stagecoach to school.
Yeah. If this group is successful, I'm going to petition the Cowboys to change their name.
Nice.
They can call them the Dallasians.
Have you guys seen the new $100 bill?
No, but I've heard about it.
I don't make enough money to see a $100 bill.
Right?
Yeah, I got one this past weekend, man. It is so freaking trippy, dude. Like, it legitimately looks like Monopoly money, and now there's, like, a sticker on the front, like it's sealed from a DVD case or something. It's weird looking, man. You should look it up.
Yeah, one of the folks in the chat room said they were offended by the Browns because it makes fun of people with mixed skin. So, Martin, yeah, you probably wouldn't like that either, the Browns.
Maybe if we just change the name to, like, the Brown Pride. Just kidding.
Oh, man. Yeah. So
I don't like, you know what's weird is that, you know, growing up in the South, you know, that has racial tension already, but I was raised in a family where, like, we didn't really, I don't care about color, man. I care if you're a good person or not, and that's pretty much it.
Right.
You know, but, and you know,
no.
I do joke about race, but it's only because I can handle it, and that, you know, I just assume that everybody can handle it. Some people can't, and it's like, man, really? It's a joke, man. But
you know, and there's a lot of we see how our government's working. You know, it's pretty much not working. No one can agree on anything, and
yep.
They don't want to put the U.S. citizens in the best interest. It's all about what they.
Oh yeah, it's about money and power, man.
And, you know, I look at that, and then I look at the paranormal field, and the paranormal field's just the same way, you know? And I'm just like, damn,
you know,
what has happened to people in America, you know?
Yeah, it really is, man. Like, you know, here's a prime example. Me and Stacy made a decision this year that we're gonna stay away from events this coming year. And really, I mean, it has a lot to do with drama, but the main thing is I'm physically tired of going broke for paranormal. And
yeah.
me and Stacy want to just settle down and take care of our lives, and then paranormal comes second, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When we were really pushing a Bravo thing, I mean, I would sell children just to get a new millimeter, you know.
Yeah.
But that's changing this year, and then, you know, for us, if we can make it to an event, we'll go to an event, but we're not going to make any promises because, honestly, like, I'm tired of letting people down all the time, and I don't want to just continue being that guy. So, you know, if I can make it to your event, I'll go, but if not, then no hard feelings, you know?
Right. Well, I totally agree. I mean, since I put a pause on the paranormal and all of that, you know, I'll tell you, I there was days I was just looking forward to seeing the UPS man because he was bringing me a new piece of equipment. But I haven't ordered any new piece of equipment or any of that stuff, you know. And
yeah,
when the time comes to start the team back up and get going, I'm gonna be in the same mindset you are. So now I'm going to read about our guest tonight. Our guests tonight are members of the team Black Mountain Paranormal Society out of Virginia. And let me pull their, if I can get the computer to act right here. Black Mountain Paranormal Society was established in February of 2012. They currently have 6 full-time members. They serve Southwest Virginia and Southeast Kentucky and Northeast Tennessee. Coming from such a small area, they think that they have started to break down the paranormal barriers that have been closing this area off and where they're at, which is cool because there are areas throughout America where, you know, if you're a paranormal investigator, you get the crazy eyes, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I like to call that area the Bible Belt.
Well, I live in one of those such areas. Jeff can attest to that, and it's taken a while. But
yeah,
I live
just outside of it, so we can talk about it, but God forbid you want to come investigate, you know?
All right. Jeff, we got 2 callers on hold, so if you'll go check, see if that's our guest, and then we can bring them on.
All right.
Whoop, whoop. All right. But, yeah, you know, it's crazy. You know, you think with all the paranormal shows and all the teams and the events that that most of America would be somewhat open arms to it. You know, you're still going to have your people that don't believe in it at all. But
I mean, and I don't want to sound like this guy, but monetarily, these locations could severely use the help. You know, like, if I mean, your property goes up in value just knowing that it's haunted. You know, people think it doesn't, but you have every team in America is like, oh yeah, I want to go there and investigate. And if you make it out to be a decent market and not charge $1,000 a night for a team like some locations, I mean, you can make out pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
Now on the flip side of that, I can see where they're coming. I mean, do you have to worry about what if somebody gets hurt? You know, worst case scenario, what if somebody dies? You know, what if insurance claims? What if some team comes in and destroys your property? Like, what was that one location that happened to, where they like some paranormal team went in and they just scratched up the wood, like hardwood floors?
Oh. I can't even remember, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they put in like 1-inch gashes in the floor. I'm like, really? This is like an 1800s floor, and you're gonna do that? That mean there's no getting that. There's no rebuilding that back. You know?
Right. Yeah, and I got something. You just reminded me of something, but I'm gonna talk about it later because I believe we have our guests.
Oh, sweet.
Now,
yep, you do.
But yeah, I got to talk about a recent episode on one of the paranormal shows that actually filmed at a location that Jeff and I investigated twice, Allen House, but I'll talk about that later.
Oh, cool.
So do we have our guests online, Jeff?
Yes, we do. They are through. At least they should be.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
how's it going?
Gary. How you guys doing
tonight?
We're
good.
That's good.
How's this year been turning out for you guys as far as the team and stuff like that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Somebody was interrupting there.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying, how's this year been treating your team as far, you know, paranormal-wise?
Honestly, I can full-heartedly say that this area has really opened up to us, and it surprised me because I grew up in this area. And they are a lot of misunderstanding about what we do and what we deal with. And I think that people are starting to realize more than ever. And I've really started to see changes around a lot that, you know, people are actually opened up more to it.
Right. And then, I mean, we've noticed that too. Like, you know, here in my area, I live just outside of the Bible Belt here in Texas. And,
yeah.
I mean, you can talk about paranormal all you want, but God forbid you ask to go investigate a location. But over the last couple years, I mean, it's been opening up. You know, people are more open to talking about it. And, you know, if you're persistent enough, they're more willing to let you investigate, you know?
Oh, yeah, for real. Like, around here, what we run into a lot, and like I said, like, everybody's been pretty open to us, and, you know, we've been surprised about the people that's called us, and we never push anybody to let us come in their homes. We just, you know, most of the people that, the residents that we've investigated, they've actually contacted us, and we've actually got to investigate some areas around here that a lot of people has been itching to get into, but there's not a actual paranormal group around here. And, you know, for us, that's amazing, especially from this area, because it is very, I don't want to say, like, I don't want to be mean and say closed-minded, but it really is because they don't really realize what we actually do and how we help people, because this stuff is happening to people, and there's people being put through some pretty traumatic experiences, and, you know, we need to be here.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, and you know what? I think the common misconception about paranormal teams, they think that, you know, we're all party goers, and we like to go out late at night and scare ourselves to death. And you know, they don't really notice that there are teams out there that really want to get down to the science of things and figure stuff out. You know, but
very true. And around here, I'll tell you what we get and what we got when we first got together. And I even got this from some of my family members, is that I was a devil worshiper. And that we are dabbling in the occult, which is very misunderstood on their part because they don't, you know, they've never picked up a book to read, you know, about
yeah.
it. And it's kind of a touchy subject around here because, you know, I'm respectful of everybody and I expect everybody to be respectful of us, but that's not always the case.
Yeah, I've actually kind of ran into the same thing too, like, one of my cousins. He was curious about it, and I was talking to him about our experiences and stuff. And he's like, and he goes, "You know what you're talking to, right?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "You're talking to the devil." He's like,
"Oh,
there are no spirits on earth." I'm like, "Really?" Like,
yeah. Oh my God.
You know,
that reminds me of this situation I was in last week. I went into a local gas station, and there was this guy that opened the door very nicely. And the girl at the register, she knows the group and stuff. Like, most people around here do know us. And she said, you know, I missed the event you guys have coming up. And I said, "No, honey, you didn't miss it. It's not till October 26th. And she said, "Oh." So the guy obviously was not from here because being from a small town, everybody knows everybody. And he said, "Well, what are you talking about?" I said, "Well, I'm a ghost hunter, and we're holding an event at the June Hall of Vernon John Fox House here locally." And he just looked at me really weird, and it kind of freaked me out because I stand back like, "Okay, dude, what are you going to do?" And he's like, he said, "You know the devil's out there." And I just looked at him and, like, backed off a little bit, and I was like, "Oh, my God." I was kind of freaked out because this dude gets in his car, and I get right behind him, and he's going, like, my way, like I go, like the way I go home. And
yeah.
he turned off at this big church that they're renovating, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, I know now." But he really freaked me out.
He was probably like one or two ghost stories away from chasing you in a truck with dudes full with pitchforks.
I know,
and stuff,
right?
You know?
I totally expected him to pull over or stop in the middle of the road and come back and start slinging holy water at me. I swear, no joke.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean,
man,
I still get that
sad.
From time to time. It's just like, you know, when people, like, act that way, I'm like, "I promise you, man, like, this location we're going to, there's going to be, like, no chicken-footed demons here." Like,
yeah,
like,
I have
friendly
to,
spirits.
Like, people, like, a lot of people around here, and we have actually taught a lot of people around here because they assume everything they have in their house is evil. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Lisa, know that, you know, there's so many cases we've been on where people's like, "Oh, I didn't know that." And I'm like, "Well, that's awesome," because when we started the group, and I know we're still a young group, and we've already, you know, run into the whole paradrama stuff that's going on. But, you know, that's not us. We don't judge other groups. That's not us. You know, one to it's on. And that's what I always say is, you know, we always have the every group has different ways of doing things, and that's their side. And I don't pry on other people's business, but, you know, when it comes down to having to clean other people's messes up, and I heard you guys talking earlier about investigation groups going into people's houses and tearing it up or whatnot, and
mm-hmm.
and that it's I don't know. Like, I guess it's the Southern in me. We do have that. You know, we're very humble people and respectful. And, you know, I know we just had a case, like, probably maybe 3 or 4 months ago where we had to come in after a team went in. And it was a mess. It was a really bad mess because this team came in and told the owners that they actually had two demons in their home. And it was very bad. Very, very bad.
You know, for me personally, like, you know, of all the cases I've been on, I've we've never really encountered anything like that kind of dark. So
right.
I'm kind of apprehensive to even say that word, first off. And then second off, I mean, to classify something as a demon, you're talking about, you know, investigating many, many times over at a certain location to come
exactly.
to that conclusion.
Exactly, and that's something we always tell people because, you know, they're always afraid. They always go to that word. And I'm like, listen, for us to run across something like that, it's going to be very, very rare for us. And you know, that's when they kind of like, oh, okay, you know, they kind of, you got to explain it to them, and then, because everything's evil according to them, and then you have some people, like you said, that there's no good spirits, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we ran across spirits that, you know, would tell us hi and good morning, and like, you know,
right.
I think there was one time one of them asked us if we wanted breakfast, and I was like, what? You're like, you know, it's 2 a.m. for us, and to get an EVP to ask if we want breakfast is kind of, it's kind of weird.
Oh,
but
definitely, yeah. Like,
no.
as far as EVPs go, I mean, for our team, I know it's worked pretty good for us. Or like, we have some awesome ones that kind
of
blew us away.
Nice. Now, like, equipment-wise, like, you know, say somebody calls you up to investigate their house, say, you know, they have something going on. What do you guys usually roll up with? Like,
well, let me say we are a nonprofit and we are poor people, but we are country, and we can rig about anything up. And we have an awesome tech guy, which is my husband. But we don't have a K2 meter or anything yet, but we do plan on getting that. But we do have the EMF, and we do have surveillance cams, night vision. We have the ghost box, and we have our voice recorders, of course, cameras. I would say, like, with any normal starting out group, we have everything there, but we've been picking up a lot lately. Of course, it's the thinning of the veil. So all these cases are starting to roll in for us. But everything that we have has worked out great for us. Of course, like any other team, we definitely want newer equipment, and we're working toward that now. We do bake sales and whatever we can do on the side, because we do not charge anybody for investigations at all. I don't believe in that, and we're not out for any of that money-wise, and we're just here to help people.
Yeah, and, you know, personally, my team, well, it's more me than it was my team, but we just got out of this situation. It's called gear acquisition syndrome. It's like you always got to have the newest stuff, and, like, you know,
right,
as soon as the new millimeter comes out, I got to buy it. And it's like,
oh, I love it. Like, I see them in action, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm sitting there drooling. But, you know, we've actually had some people come along with this, and they'll have this equipment, and I'm like, that's awesome. And I know, like, we'll eventually add stuff on too, but the tech guy we have, he's awesome. He's been rigging stuff up for us and trying new stuff out, and that's awesome for the scientific part of paranormal investigating.
To be honest, I mean, if you have a tech guy that can do the experimentation y'all are looking for, that's going to be the best way to go. I mean, because if you're able to set your own parameters on location for what you need to get done, then that's better than trusting a piece of equipment that you don't know what it's really programmed to do, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, even though we've had our equipment since the get-go, we still, I mean, we don't go into a home and say, and automatically, I mean, that's like, I tell everybody this, and it's funny, I know they laugh at me, but I said, listen, we're like doctors. We cannot prescribe you medicine without knowing what's the diagnosis, you know? And it's true, like, and that's, like, that's where I, like, fight myself a lot, especially, you know, talking about the group that I talked about earlier, is like when they stepped right in the house without going back over their evidence and putting everything together, they just told these clients they had demons in their house. And I said, that's a big no-no. Like, that's a huge no-no. You don't do that.
You know,
right.
My team has dealt with some demonic things, but even when we knew that it was something demonic, we didn't tell the clients.
No.
We knew for sure, and we also knew a game plan of what to do and contact some of our friends.
Exactly.
Demonologists and whatnot that could help us out and you know, even confirm it with them before we even go to that step. You just don't
know
people kind of stuff.
You're going into these people's home. They're putting their full trust into you. I mean, that's a lot, because you know how many people that, you know, I know we've been on many cases where the husbands are so skeptical, and they're like, oh, that's the house settling or whatnot. And they want, some clients we don't get to help out, actually go in and investigate. I'll try to help them out as much as I can. But, you know, I always advise them for an investigation, because I can't sit here and tell them what's wrong with their house from a computer, you know, or over the phone. But I try to comfort them the best I can. But I don't know how many cases we went on, especially around mm-hmm. here. And these people come out believers. They was pure skeptics and come out and they're believers.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for me is that face that they give when, you know, I like to use the ghost box. And, I mean, I did a two-year study on the ghost box because, I mean, I was one of those people, I was like, there's no way that this can work. And, you know, so I would wake up in the morning, turn the ghost box on, do a 5-10 minute session, you know, see if answers
yeah.
would, see if, you know, and, you know, answers would come to my questions and then go on about my day. And I did that for 2 years, and some of the answers I've gotten so far have been just phenomenal, like crazy. And now when I showed somebody some evidence from a ghost box, you know, I've listened to it for so long, I can actually pick it out, but see people's faces when they hear their names being called or when, you know, they
yeah.
hear a message talking about their loved ones or something like that. That's the craziest thing to me.
Oh, yeah, for sure it is. I know with us, our ghost box man is Matt, Investigator Matt, and actually I got to give them a shout-out because they weren't able to be on tonight, but there's Matt
yeah.
and Mandy. And Matt, he's our ghost box guy because the rest of us is like, oh my God, this thing's giving me a headache.
He's the only one that's got
the yes, if I stand back from it, then I'm okay. Then I'm like, okay. Well, see, we used it last night. We had actually Justin Chase
yeah,
Mullins. I know you guys
good.
Know him. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, if you don't mind me asking, which ghost box do you guys have?
We have. Well, I can't tell you offhand because it's in my case, but what is it, the T?
Probably
it's
the cheapest one.
Probably. And I'm not tech. Can you tell?
Yeah.
Is it one of those ones from Radio Shack, or is it
not the Radio Shack one, but we want to update to the Radio Shack because everybody's saying that it is a lot better than the one we have.
Yeah, yeah. I like the Radio Shack hacks because for me I don't like the PSP7 all that much because they're really noisy.
Oh, very,
and,
very.
Go
ahead.
Oh yeah. No, I was just saying like for me they're really noisy. I can't listen to the white noise all that much, but the Shack hacks, I mean, you're getting there's sometimes that you get like a full sentence, you know, across the whole band of radio, and it's hard for me to tell people, like, yeah, that's a radio station. I mean, I can't
oh,
even...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know?
That's something, too, that our tech guys worked on. He actually made us a little homemade Faraday cage, and that's actually within the last week, and we've got to use it once, I think, but
mm-hmm.
we're excited to actually use it more in the field, and he's rigged us up a EMF pump and some static detectors, which is pretty cool. I mean, we used them last night, but last night was pretty exciting for us.
Sweet, sweet.
Got a lot of
yeah.
activity.
Actually, I designed it's a circuit-based EM pump, you know, but I designed a circuit so small that it can actually fit inside objects. Like, if you have a trigger object, then, you know, you can, like, say if you have, like, a teddy bear or something, you can start this EM pump inside of it, and then you have like a trigger object that puts off energy.
Oh, well, that's
so
cool.
Yeah, it's worked out.
Like,
really
he's got the brains. I'm not that book smart, people. I'm telling you. Him, on the other hand, now he can do this stuff. Now, if I can sit here and talk, everybody says I could sell anything to anybody because I got a mouth on me and I never shut up. And they won't. They don't like for me to have Red Bulls before you go on cases because I ping off the walls.
That's funny. But yeah,
this is Holly without Red Bulls.
Yeah, like as far as the ghost box, there was one morning I woke up, and then when I woke up, I was like, man, I had that need to want to run the ghost box, and usually that doesn't happen for me. So I woke up, and then I was asking weird questions, and I was like, how about the state of America? How's the state of America going to end up for 2013? Because at that time it was 2012, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I listened to it, it said jihad was coming. I was like, well, that's kind of weird, you know?
Yeah,
and,
really.
And then so I put that video aside for X amount of months, and then I ran across it again in May of this year. And then so I was like, yeah, I'll listen to it again, you know, because I was about to delete it. And then I listened to it again, and then, like, my mind was totally blown, because when I listened to it again, it said, before I asked the question, it said, Boston has bombs. And then I asked the question, what about America? And it said, jihad is coming. And then it said, save the Americans. And I was like, holy crap, you know, like,
I don't think I would be using crap for that, though, but it'd be a sentence enhancer like I was talking earlier.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, the question was, had that message always been there and I would just, you know, not pay attention to it, or was it something that was there later on, you know?
See, that's the thing about being in the business that we do. It's like, oh, man, you're always questioning things. And,
yeah.
You know, that's something I've always done as a person. I've always questioned things. And, like, I've been told by many people, like, you're a seeker, Holly, because I'm always questioning things. But, I mean, I think everybody should, you know?
Yeah.
I definitely do.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, I was just going to ask, where did y'all go last night? Was it a residential or
business. It was a building. It was actually a follow-up investigation, because when we first went to it's a Virginia Kentucky Opry. It's connected to a local radio station. And we had done that investigation last year, but we didn't have some of the equipment that we have now. And Justin, Chase Mullins, actually came with us last night, and Duke, his buddy. But we had an awesome night. I mean, there was a full body apparition scene last night. So that's a good night.
Nice. 2 years. 2 years is my first full body apparition.
Yeah, I think it was about the same for me. It was closer to 3 or 4 years before it happened to me. Like, and I would always see like shadows out of the corner of my eye, or I think I'd see a shadow person or something like that. But
right,
with the very
and then
first time
I feel like everybody else. Yeah, you
yeah.
just miss yourself. It's like, oh, okay, that's just me. Whatever.
Yeah. But
no,
the very first time
that,
you
though.
see a full body like that, you're just like. I couldn't even react. I mean, I was like, holy crap. I mean, like, and then I was wondering, like, did I just see that, or was it just, like, a trick of my eye, or, you know?
It was so funny last night, because we was all huddled around each other, because we had the ghost box going, and, you know, we had Justin there, and he was picking up on things, and we had three investigators just jump up out of their seat, and they was like, oh, shit, did you see that? And I was sitting here in the corner with my back to – I was like, I was so mad
you
because I didn't
it.
Get to see this apparition. I was so mad. But everybody else saw it, and I was like, I'm so mad. It was actual full-body apparition. Ugh.
Nice.
I missed everything.
Now, when you guys run the ghost box, do y'all, and this happens to me, like, whenever I turn my ghost box off, I feel like the location is, like, 10 times more haunted for some reason.
Oh, yes. I tell everybody, listen, this is like a beacon coming up, you know? All these near, like, spirits that are near, they're going to come in and communicate. So when we're on a case, we have to really be careful, because we have all these different supposed spirits coming in and speaking with us, and I'm like, that makes no sense to what, because I always get the history of these places from the people and do the paperwork and everything, and, you know, I always ask them during investigations, and we start getting something out there, and I'm like, you know, that's somebody else coming through wanting to communicate with us.
Right. I mean, yeah, and it's really like, it's like throwing a walkie-talkie into Grand Central Station, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, that's the case last night, too, with us. But even then, the building had so much history. I mean, it dates back to the 1800s. That's how old the building is. And this little town here, you know, our county, Wise County, Virginia, it actually holds a lot of history. See, we're in Coe Country. So there's a lot of history.
Nice. Now, I think from the bio it says you guys cover three states pretty much. Or is it like Virginia, Tennessee, and...
Virginia, Tennessee, and Kentucky.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Not too many teams cover a location or locations like that.
When we first started, we was like hesitant because I don't like stepping on somebody else's territory, so we have to do a lot of research. I know there are a couple of groups out there, and I've been in communication with them because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, like, we always unite. Like, you know, that's how I am. It's like whenever or how I feel like people should be is, which, of course, I've got a huge heart. And, like, you know, if I need help from somebody or if somebody else needs help, I want them to feel like they can reach out to us or likewise.
Right, right. Now, with the team name, how did you guys come up with the team name? That's pretty cool. It's like I've never heard of a team name like you guys.
Well, actually, I live at the foot of a mountain in Kentucky. It's the highest mountain in Kentucky. It's called Black Mountain.
Oh, okay. Cool, cool.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I told you guys in the message, I said, listen, when we say we're from Virginia, people automatically think, and when they, you know, when they hear us, they're like, you're from Alabama. I said, no, honey, I'm from Virginia. And when they think of Virginia, they think of the beaches and everything else. I said, no. But then, you know, if they saw the Children of the Appalachian, Diane Sawyer has done a 60-minute show on the Children of the Appalachians. Oh, my God. Oh. I was like, that's funny, because that makes us to look out to be awful people. And, you know, sometimes we do paddle down the river with our boats playing our banjo, but I'm in running through the woods. And, you know, you see wrong turn, and you think that's what we're going to look like and how we're going to act, and that's not the case. Or, you know, you always get underestimated about your education. I mean, hey,
yeah.
I graduated eighth grade.
Nice. You don't have a beard like Duck Dynasty?
I shave it. I'm sorry, but I have to shave that. But I do keep my underarm hairs.
You know, one of these days you guys are going to go to, like, a residential and you're going to get an EVP of, like, somebody playing banjo.
I know, right? And they're going to be like, it'll be like the wrong term, people. They're going to be like, I told you guys, we're big goofballs. You have no idea.
Now, you guys are y'all are close to the Appalachian Mountains up there, right?
We are
right
in the heart
right
of
there.
And I know there's a lot of Native Americans in that area, and I actually experienced something kind of weird up in the Appalachians because I was doing the Shenandoah Drive, you know, like I think it's like what 100 or 300 miles, and you just go straight through the mountains the whole way, all the way I think to Virginia. And then,
the Appalachian Mountains runs all the way up to, like, Maine, all the way down to Georgia.
Yeah, yeah, and we were driving through there and just kind of enjoying the country, you know. And it was early morning, I forget what state we were in, but we were driving, you know, that Appalachian Trail has ups and downs as you're going through the mountains, so you could be, like, over the top of a mountain, and then next thing you know, you're driving down to the bottom of it.
Oh, yeah,
back
we
up.
Know about that.
And we were hitting pockets of thick fog, you know? And one of the times we went down, man, I'm, like, not even lying. I could swear I could see people walking in the fog, and then we would drive through it, you know, because they weren't people, but I know they were there, and that was, like, so creepy to me.
Oh, yeah, for sure, like, especially down through there. And, I mean, Native American history around here is deeper than people realize. It runs really deep through here. But, you know, it was funny when you were talking about that. I was reminiscing about a time me and my husband was actually dating at the time, and we was, and it's so cliche because it was around Halloween, but we was driving, and it wasn't foggy at all, and we had this, I was the first one to see it, but we were both quiet because we didn't want to sound like big idiots, you know. But I had saw this big mist fog, and I'm assuming that it was some kind of elemental because it had like a dog face. So it was like a few seconds after I saw it, I was like, did you see that? And my husband, he was like, yeah. I said, well, tell me what you saw. Because, you know, here I am. I'm like, I'm crazy. I know what I saw. But, yeah, we saw the same thing. I mean, it's out there.
Wow. wow, that's pretty trippy.
Oh, very trippy. And if you think that's trippy, I have OBE, so that's even trippier.
Oh, yeah, you had an out-of-body experience?
I do. I've had them. Well, actually, when I was pregnant with my third son is when it really took off, but I had a few experiences before that. And it was weird because some of the things that happens, a lot of people mistaken it as different things, as like they're haunted or whatever. So I don't think it gets enough recognition in the paranormal world that I've seen so far, because I try to put that on our pages a lot, and I'll have people be like, oh my God, that happens to me. And I've actually met people that actually travel, and I've not got that far yet, but I'm working on it.
Nice.
Yeah, Justin, you know, we talked about Justin Chase Mullins. He actually read me, and he said, are you coming to terms with you being psychic? And I was like, what? I was like, are you crazy? No.
Did I not know that?
And he's like, yeah. He's like, I see you leading your team as a medium. And I'm like, no way. But I think that's part of me just second-guessing myself, and I do that a lot, but everybody does.
Right. I mean, people that, you know, if you didn't know you were a medium from the get-go, it's kind of hard to conceptualize it, because it's like,
well, especially around here. And, you know, for Justin, I know he said, you know, I couldn't control it. It was there. You know, I couldn't make it go away, or, you know, but for me and for a lot of people I know around here, and you don't know how many people I've talked to that have been called crazy by their family, or, you know, you're not really seeing this, and especially children. I have a son who is very open, and he has some experiences himself. So can you imagine all the people around here that has kids that has some experiences, and we've actually helped some, but it's scary to think about how many people get misdiagnosed because of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I've noticed that I'm pretty sure a good amount of kids get misdiagnosed with ADD. And
yes.
I mean, for me, I was never diagnosed, but I always thought I was ADD, like, because I can never really focus.
My son's like that.
Here about a month ago, I decided to give up sugar and caffeine, like, you know.
Yeah.
Because I spent most of my life drinking Cokes and Dr. Peppers and energy drinks and stuff like that. And I was wanting to see what life was like running clean. And I'll tell you what, ever since I gave up sugar, especially sugar, not so much caffeine, but ever since I gave up sugar, I'm able to focus at work. Like, I can sit down and actually do my job. I'm not thinking about a thousand things
like,
at once.
I've told everybody, and it's funny because they made fun of me when I first started, because I'm really looking into, like, I totally believe in, like, clearing your body of toxins, because people don't realize what they're putting in their body. And, you know, we do it every day, and it's not our fault. We've been taught that way, you know.
Right.
But if people would, you know, realize that, and they would be surprised about what medicines they don't have to be on, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, this is what's crazy. Like, I stopped sugar and caffeine, and I straight dropped, like, 25 pounds. I was like, really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well, that's like,
it was that easy, you know, but.
It is that easy. I'm telling you, I quit pop, and like in a week I dropped 12 pounds. I used to be 300 pounds, so I know all about it.
So, I mean, it's crazy to think that, you know, as Americans, we're really wired that way. I mean, we're wired to go to the fast food and get, you know, the large size and supersize your meals and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And I know 1940s America, everything was like, you cook your meal, you know, you go out and you find your food, you bring it home, you cook it, and then, you know,
that's because people had to actually, you know, physically get out and get their food, and that's what's wrong with a lot of people. But, you know, I'm no saint, of course, but, you know, also the economy is making it that way.
Oh, God, yes. Like, the economy is making it really hard to eat clean. Like, you know, you want to eat clean, but then vegetables.
It's like, you want a salad? That's $6.
Exactly.
I'm like, a salad, $6, really? And I can get this, like, Big Mac meal for, like, $3 and something with some fries and a Coke on the side? No.
Exactly. I mean, if you play your cards right and you eat the dollar menu, you could probably eat twice as much for really cheap as what if you were to buy the things to make a salad, you know?
Oh, yep. That is very, very true. Because I'm a dollar menu darling.
Yeah. Not going to lie, I've lived on a dollar menu, that's for sure.
I think a lot of people are going to be living on the dollar menu.
But, I mean, it's the economy, you know? It's just...
It's bad right now, yeah. And for us over here in Coke Country, it's really bad.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very bad. Yeah. But, you know, back to the eating, too, what people don't realize, and people with abilities that might want to, you know, strengthen that... they, like, clearing your body of some of them toxins do help. And not only that, it's meditation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of it. And I know it has been for me. You know, when Justin told me all this, I actually started meditating. And I helped one of our clients, and I shocked myself because usually I sit back and doubt myself and be like, don't say that. She's going to think you're crazy. But then, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with my gut, and I'm going to say it. And, you know, I was shocked when she came back and said, you're right. And I was like, whoa. But, you know, that's another thing, too, is, like, I've started to realize a lot. And, you know, I've always, ever since I was little, been into the paranormal. Around here, everybody grows up hearing the ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
But for people with abilities, and everybody has ability. This is what I believe, and I know a lot of people believe it. Everybody has ability. We're just not open. It's shut off to us, and some people, like, will go through their whole life and be, like, 40 years old, and bam, there you go. You're seeing all this stuff at once, and, you know, it drives people crazy sometimes.
Like our private case we went on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've, like I've said, you know, going back to the kids, dealing with kids with psychic abilities, and the grandmother was calling the home the whole time we were there, and she's like, get them people out of there. You're just crazy. And the poor little girl, you know, she wouldn't sleep in her bed. She was sleeping with her mom and dad. It was bad. And, you know, after we investigated and everything, and we told them, said, you know, I taught her to some techniques for herself, and she ended up, like, now she's sleeping in her own room. She has no issues, and you know what? That's what it's about. Like, that's a high for me.
Wow. Now, being in Virginia and Kentucky and stuff like that, you guys are actually UFO and Squatch Country, aren't y'all?
Oh, yes.
Yes, we are.
We are. I've got people in my family, and I know Gary probably does too, that have seen Bigfoot. We call him Bigfoot around here. And I honestly don't get the wood booger thing. I'm sorry, but y'all know the real term for that. And I'm like, every time I see a sticker or a shirt that says wood booger on it, I automatically laugh because I don't know if you guys know what the urban term for wood booger is.
I'm sure they do. We don't. They, if they don't, they don't want to know.
If you don't, Google it.
Now I gotta know. What is it?
Well, it is crested over ejaculation.
Oh man, that's nasty.
But it does make sense, wood booger. And I had never heard of that before because, you know, finding Bigfoot come in and done a big show up here around us on High Knob, and that's when we first heard the term. Wood booger, and I'm like, I thought it was Bigfoot.
Always
taught. But
I got a new nickname to call Jeff now.
Wood booger. But every time I see it, because around here it's big, you know, like some of the hardware stores around here started selling the shirts real big and everything, and everybody's got decals on their cars, and, me being the big perv I am, I'm like, ah, ha, ha. I'm like,
that's
like
funny.
Really, do you know what it means? But it's
that's
funny.
Pretty
but,
funny.
Yeah, Bigfoot. Me personally, I do, like, believe in the UFOs and Bigfoot. Now, what Bigfoot is or Sasquatch or whatever everybody calls them, I have no idea. I actually have my, you know, theories, but I guess everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh,
I wonder if he's more of a spiritual than actual, you know, because there's no evidence. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, exactly. Now, I think Outlaw is closer to Bigfoot Country than I am. I know they have sightings out closer to him. I live closer to him.
Being in East Texas, we're the the number one area in all of Texas. And in fact, next month, I'm going with a buddy of mine who actually has his whole family is a Bigfoot hunting team, and they got a secret location down in one of the national forests down there that they always go and camp out, and they filmed and caught a lot of evidence of Bigfoot. And I said, dude, I've always done paranormal investigating. I want to go on a Bigfoot hunt. So next month,
heck yeah,
I'm going to do
that's
that.
Me too. I've, you know, from the get go, I'm like, yeah, I'd be out there, but you know, if he comes up to me, I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably scream like the girl I am and run. But you know, I might just roll over and play dead. Who knows? But I know around here, you know, we have these big mountains, and there's, yes, we have a lot of hunters around here, but there's so much woods around here. I mean, we have mountain lions around here that, you know, that we actually have black panthers, and that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Some people say we don't. A lot of people say we don't, but everybody around here has seen them.
I've heard them.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
I know my uncle, he was a tow truck driver in one of the mountains here, actually right by the house. And not only him, but years and years, years later, actually last year, one of our investigators talked to somebody that had seen a Bigfoot on the same mountain. I said, well, you know, that's a coincidence right there, because my uncle has been telling this story since way back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
And then, you know, around here, when they come in investigated, I know it was on the different side of the mountain from us, but it's still part of what they call High Knob here, and that's National Forest as well. But that's where they come in from finding Bigfoot and then their investigation up there.
Nice. Now, you guys, I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys have teams up there that are you know, Bigfoot only, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
I mean, every location has, you know, like your UFO only team, your ghost only team, and
right.
Bigfoot only team. But
I know there's a group of, actually, I talked to forestry. He's actually one of the main guys over the forestry department here, and he's involved in some of the hunting that goes on. But as far as teams go, I mean, I haven't heard of any around here.
There's a couple. A guy that I used to work with is part of the team.
I've never heard of
them.
But I do,
yeah,
like, I hear the whole UFO sighting things a lot. Like, around here, I'm telling you, you can't get by with nothing. If you go streaking down the road, everybody in the county is going to know about it, and they're going to know every curve of your body. And they're going to listen to the scanner, and they're going to hear about everything, too, because I'll be out, and people will be listening to the scanner, and they'll call me. I'll have five people calling me, making sure where I am. And I'm like, my God. But, like, yeah, all the time we hear about the UFO sightings.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I actually want to, because, you know, I like making many documentaries, and I actually want to speak to a few people that have had either been abducted or experienced UFO sightings. I just think it's, you know, I think it's cool.
Oh, it's very, very cool. I don't know. Like, see, I'm a big documentarist. I love watching documentaries. And I don't know. See, the one that Dan Aykroyd done, did you see that one?
No, I don't think I've seen that one yet.
Now, it's kind of odd because he's sitting there smoking the whole documentary, but but it's like, wow, I've never seen this side of Dan Aykroyd before. But, I mean, it's pretty interesting. But I've always been into these documentaries. I love it.
Nice. You know, what's it called?
You know what? I can link you over, and I'll find out for you, but I can't remember right offhand.
Okay, cool, yeah. I love watching documentaries, so it'd be cool.
Me too. I'm a Netflixer. I'm always on Netflix being like, what documentary can I watch today? But I'll tell you a very good one that I recently watched was, what was it, Awakened or Awake. It was very, very interesting because this guy was kind of on a spiritual journey. And I think, you know, it was very awesome because he went to every kind of religious person they were. He even went with he went into Native American territory and went out and you know, went into a vision quest. And I think that's interesting. I don't know why, but I'm drawn to the Native American. Like, when I meditate and I listen to the pan flute, I love it. Like, the Native American flute, I love it. But like, I actually know some people that go out and do these vision quests. I don't know if I could do without eating because I'm a big girl and I got to have my food. And I don't know about that. But
yeah, back a couple of years ago, one of my friends is Native American. He's actually Mohegan, which is Connecticut-based.
Yeah.
And he took me up there, and we spent time on the reservation, and I was actually inducted into the Mohegan tribe with them, and we did one of their sweats, and it's like what's crazy is that they spend all day, they make a bonfire.
Yes.
And they bury these boulders, and these boulders are probably like a foot wide by maybe like 2 feet tall. I mean, they're pretty big. They bury them underneath the fire, and when the fire burns out is when they pull these rocks out, and then you go into a small hut, right? And then
right.
You know, they're all sitting around, and then they pour cold water on these stones, and it steams up the whole hut, and then immediately you get so sweaty, and you're just like, I mean, you get so hot in there. I mean, but what
right.
it does is it causes you to hallucinate,
right.
And I mean, it's pretty spiritual. I mean, it's crazy. I saw stuff in that hut that I've never seen anywhere else in my life, and it was like, I was like, holy crap, man, I didn't know I could go through anything like that, you know?
All right.
But,
well, see, I mean, that's awesome. Like, I love it. For me, you know, of course, coming from this area, I grew up Baptist. And, you know, most everybody around through here, you know, you go to church or you're going to hell.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, as far as myself, I consider myself spiritual, and that's something that I've you know, really, like, searched for, and I've came to really realize that, but because I'm not, some people call me a hippie because I'm like, I love everybody. I give everybody hugs. Like, it's crazy, but, like, I'm a really big hugger. I don't know. I just hate to see hate in the world, but it's out there, and not everybody is going to be as nice as you are, and sometimes I get myself in trouble with that because, oh, my gosh. Like, being in the paranormal field, too, you're going to come across some wacky people. And,
yeah.
You know,
oh,
sometimes
yeah.
they might not come off wacky, but then you'll get in a situation where you're like, oh, shit, no. So you're like, run!
Yeah.
Thank God for block and delete on Facebook.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are some crazies out there, and it's like, wow, you're way out there. I'm out there, but you're way out there.
Now, what are some of the, you know, I guess some of the crazier experiences you guys have had in investigations?
Gary.
Well, the Y's Inn, in the basement of the Y's Inn. You want to tell them about the EVP?
Oh, they've got them. I've sent them over to them.
Oh, they got them?
Yeah. The cases around here, I mean, some of the craziest ones, I guess. Good God. Go ahead.
The lady that came with us on the Wise End.
Oh, that's crazy people. We talking about crazy experiences. Last night was definitely one. I'll tell you, last night, we actually, it was wild last night. Really
yes,
wild.
It was.
We not only was a full body apparition scene, we had a sound of a dog growling, and
yeah.
I'm assuming
yeah.
you guys know what that means, but it was right in my
yeah.
ear, and not
yeah.
only that, it was right in Justin's ear. People were being touched, Dupe especially. He was like, what am I punching bag tonight? Because you always have that one person in your group that always gets picked on. And I've got long hair, and it's usually me. I don't know why spirits like hair, but and it's so funny because I'll be listening back to EVPs, and I'll be like, play with my hair. You can play with my hair. And, yeah, I don't care if
well,
you touch my hair. I'm like, oh, my God. It's so funny sometimes.
Did you get the spirit box station when we was in the little room, and the spirit box said, here I come. Here I come.
Oh, yeah.
And Dupe was touched. So,
oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Shoot,
wild.
I've been called names over the ghost box. I've been called a whore before. That's not true. God, there's so much. We've actually been, for us to be in such a small area, we have done a lot of cases.
Yes, we have. Surprising.
It's very surprising, and you know, we've actually made the papers here, and that's really surprising. One of the Tri-Cities actually, you know, it covers all the areas, and we made the front page on that on a Sunday paper,
yep,
doing the Wise In, and that was amazing to us because we're not out for recognition, and you know, like I said, we want to help people, but I told you, like, going in and investigating the Wise In, it was awesome because
yeah.
So many people want the chance to get in there, and these are just people wanting a good scare. They'll want to go in, and it was an honor to go in there. And then after we got in there and out, it was amazing with some of the stuff that we caught.
Nice.
Yeah, and we got those EVPs. We'll go ahead and talk about them and play them. If you want to,
go ahead.
The first one that you sent me, it just says the N EVP.
Yes.
Yeah,
well, this
one
is from the Wise In.
Yeah.
Okay. What was going on when this happened?
Nobody was downstairs.
Nobody
was
in there.
This was an old bar. This is an old tap room.
Like an old tavern.
All right.
Very old tavern.
Let me get it here. A little bit. All right, here we go.
I still get chills.
And I'll tell you a little bit about that EVP, too. On this case, we actually have a sensitive that we work with, and he's on our team full-time. And we had a medium come in. She worked with us that night, and they was picking up on the same things. They was picking up on a little girl, and she likes to go around and play hide-and-go-seek, just like, you know, you would think a little girl would. You know, they picked up on a man who liked, he was authority-like, I guess. This is my place.
Like to be intimidating.
Very. So when we heard this, and that is the raw version, but when you clean it up, you can hear it a little bit better. But you can hear it clear as day. It's a little girl, and she's going, woo-hoo! And he goes, stop it right now. And she goes, like she's like wanting to play. Like she's doing a ghost, like she's wanting to scare somebody, and he's like, stop it right now. But,
yeah,
I mean, there's no debunking that, you know?
Right.
I mean, we don't bring kids along with us.
All right, this one's labeled Boy Raw.
Yes, this is actually from a residence case we done, the Clem's case. They called us
thought we wouldn't get nothing on.
And we'll talk about
that in a minute. One of the quietest cases I've ever been on.
These people called us in because they have three little girls, and one of their little girls was being bothered during the night. And you can go ahead and play it.
All right.
Listen, all we want to know is if you're here, that it's okay for these little kids to be in there in this room. All we want to know is if they're going to be, to make sure that they're safe.
That still gives me chills, man.
Wow.
Yeah, that was like one of my top EVPs, and I share it all the time. We was doing a ghost spot session.
Oh, hang on, it decided to play me.
What's weird is when the guy says, "Do you know your name?" I could swear I hear somebody whispering something. I can't make it out, but
at one time he goes, and then when he gets further along, he said, "We just want to make sure you're not here to hurt them." And he goes, "I won't hurt them." And I'm like, when I was the one that found this, and I'm sitting there like, I'm about to like, just break out of my, I'm like, I had to tell everybody. I was so excited. But, I mean, that was clear as day.
Yeah.
So we went and showed it to the clients, and I was like, well, And, you know, she's got three little girls. She was pregnant with her fourth little girl. And I said, well, you know, you got your little boy that you always wanted.
Nice.
Right.
We have some other ones that have blown me away. But the two that you played are one of my, you know, they're my top ones. We have actually investigated one of the big local colleges around here, UVA Wise, and we got to go in the library and investigate there, and some of the halls there that they give classes out of. But in the library, we actually had an EVP of a sounded like maybe a teenager, maybe 12 or 13, and he said, Mommy. And I'm like, oh, my God. And me being a mom of three boys, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to cry, you know. But not only did we get him in one EVP, we got him another one asking,
same exact
when's
voice.
School?
Yeah, and what's interesting, on that one EVP, you had two spirits interacting.
Exactly. It's not the first time either.
And it was in a room no one was in, and you had a EVP recorder there. And I have one from the Allen House in Arkansas, the same kind of thing. Here, I'll play it for you, see what you think.
Okay, cool.
Let me turn it
down.
Yeah, I'm going to play it one more time. I don't know why it was kind of distorted. Well, is it going to play?
I don't want to play for you. Wow, that's awesome. That's a little girl and a woman, ain't it?
Yeah, it's a woman and a little boy, and she
little
says,
boy, yeah.
He says, Caddy, and she goes, yeah, and he says, I have a cookie.
That's awesome.
Wow, that is awesome. That's kick-ass.
Yeah, and that was in the attic. We had put in an EVP recorder up there, and that happened about 30 minutes into the investigation. Of course, we weren't up there.
We talked about some of the investigations that we've been on, and we're like, oh, man, I feel like right at home here. And we'll go home, and we'll go over the evidence, and it'll be like clear as day. There's your EVP, just like the Clem case, the little boy there. It was quiet. We was like, man, I could fall asleep here, seriously. And, you know, on some of our investigations, like this one, we was only there for a couple hours because they had kids, and they couldn't keep them out of the house, too long. And we come back, and I heard that, and I was like, wow. So, you know, we've come to realize that, first of all, you don't have to be in a home overnight. And most people think you do. You don't. But definitely, like, some of the best evidence we've had is in these cases where it's so quiet and we feel so comfortable.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No,
what's even cooler about that EVP is that on the file, it's about a minute later, so there was a cat up there, and you can actually hear the little kid trying to play with the cat.
That's awesome. Stuff like that, I get adrenalized from. I'm like, hey, who needs Red Bull? But then I'm like, oh, man, I'm bragging.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say, you know, nothing happens. With that case right there that we did, we ended up with 216 EVPs from that place and 75 from our class day. And as far as activity during that whole investigation, we had none. It was quiet, we got home and went through all this evidence, and it was like every minute we had an EVP.
There you go. I mean, you know, to me, it makes me think because you might not have anything, you know, by ear that you can actually hear or see, but, you know, it's like their energy is more into residual effects.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and it really just depends on the type of spirits that are there, you know, because they're human beings. And you know, everybody's got their own personality. So depending on what's there and depending on the team that's there, because like I said, with the location we went to and getting so many EVPs, there's been several other teams that's gone to that location, and they've only walked out with about 40 EVPs.
Right.
Wow.
And they were like, how in the hell did you get all that? And we were like, we were just ourselves, you know? And
right,
so,
exactly. And, you know, that's another thing, too, is, like, I think the why people are so, you know, I can talk to somebody, a client over the phone and make them feel so comfortable. And, you know, I sometimes I blame it on the Southern accent, but no, but definitely is like when you're humble and you're very respective of the surroundings. Like every time we go on a case and we're in there, I'm like, you know, I always say please and thank you. And I'm always,
take off
you know,
shoes before you go inside the house.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always, like, when I'm talking toward the spirits, trying to capture an EVP, I'm like, sweetheart, honey, darling, you know, I'm always sweet-talking, so I'm, like, hoping that they'll like that sweet-talking and come back and give us a good EVP.
But we found out through our experiences, it's, they know what kind of person you are before you even walk into the location. They can read
your
energy.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Yeah, they can read your energy, and, you know, they made up their mind from the get-go whether or not they want to talk to you or not, you know. And I've tried to tell other teams, you got to kind of put yourself in their shoes, you know. If you're the spirit that's in that home and these people walk in and you're like, man, they don't – they're not the right kind of people. They have the wrong intentions.
No, these people are quacks.
Yeah. Yeah. They have the wrong intentions. They want to become famous, this, that,
exactly.
And other.
Exactly.
Well, they don't want to talk to you, you know, because spirits are psychic, you know, because when they're on that side, of course. But
oh, God, they're like,
you don't have to go in a place and announce your name, and you'll turn on the spirit box or even on an EVP, and they'll call you by name.
Exactly. I've had it happen.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I know,
you know.
I was just going to make a wisecrack so that, you know, when Jeff walks in a location, they know that he's a wood booger.
That's funny. I'm going to have to get a sticker and send it out to you guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll put that on my I have a case that I collect all the stickers that I have. I just throw it on there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'll totally put it on one of those cases.
It's funny, though. I always make wisecracks, too, because I'm like last week I was on this thing is like Appalachian slang, because people make fun of me because of the way I talk. I'll tell you, actually, my husband, he was in the Air Force, and he was stationed out in San Antonio, and I had flew out there to see him, and I was in a hotel room, and I called Pizza Hut out there, and this boy answered the phone, and he's like, Pizza Hut, you know, blah, 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 and I was like, what kind of specials y'all got? And he just bursted out laughing, and I never get offended. I just burst out laughing with him, but he's like, he couldn't even take my order. He's like, where are you from? I said, where do you think I'm from? I always, you know, because people, I guess, you know, because I don't get offended. You know, Southerners, are, they'll crack right up with you, and they'll make you think they're serious, and they're really not. But he's like, I'm sorry, I'm laughing, but I just can't get over the accent. And I'm like, okay. You know, I was laughing with them, but it's funny, I'm telling you. They automatically, even like we stationed in South Carolina, and people's like, are you from Alabama? I said, no, I'm from Virginia. You know, up there near West Virginia, where they do have the rivers with the paddling boats, and I do brush my teeth every once in a while. And you know what? When it rains a good rain, I'll get out and go shower. We don't have rain water, so.
You guys ever get like spirits with that have accents, you know?
Oh yes,
yes,
yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Actually, going back to the UVA Wise College here, we have spirit come through and it says, I can't look, and I was like, what? I'm a like, where is that coming from? But the history behind this, let me tell you, it was actually what they called a poor form around here. And I didn't know this until we started looking into the history of this place, because we always try to before we go and investigate. It gives us a good range of what we're dealing with. But it was actually a poor form, and people who couldn't afford to pay off their debts back then, they would be took to this poor form, and they was working to pay off their debts. Not only that, like these unwed mothers and stuff like that, they was on the poor forms too. And around here with your coal and your trains coming through, they had actually people from different countries in here. And I thought that was very neat, because having that EVP, and she's like, I can't look. And I'm like, well, because I'm always crap. I'm like, I wish I was British, you know, I have sexy British voice. And but
yeah.
it was pretty cool, though.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, yeah. Especially around here, because everybody around here talks real slow. And, you know, I moved away to South Carolina, and I come back talking real fast, and my mom and dad's like, Holly, slow down talking. I'm like, what am I doing?
I know last year or the year before, I was able to go to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, which is out there in Tennessee. And,
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy. Like, that's probably one of the most haunted places I've been to. But,
that's awesome.
On the third floor, because there's three floors you can investigate, and I was up on the third floor, and we were doing a ghost box experiment, and then had a medium with us, and the medium said he could see a shadow person in the hallway. And mind you not, like, when you're on one of these floors, it's, like, pitch black up there. Like, it's pretty dark.
Oh, yeah.
And so I told him, I was like, hey, I want to try something, man. I was like, I'm going to walk down, and you tell me when I'm in the same area as a shadow person, and we'll see if I can see it, right? And
mm-hmm.
He's like, all right, cool. So I start walking down, and then he's like, all right, stop. He's like, you just blocked it out. And I was like, what? and then so I'm looking at it. I don't see anything. You know, I stood there in the middle of the hallway for a bit, and then I didn't see anything, so I came back. Well, I was reviewing, and right at that moment, he goes, all right, stop. He's like, you're blocking it out. And then I hear one spirit tell another spirit, and it's like, oh, that whisper voice, you know. He goes, I didn't think they could see us. And then the medium, he goes, that's interesting, because I was blocking it out. And then the spirit came back, and he was like, you're interesting. I was like, holy crap. That was one of the very first times that I actually have ever picked up two spirits interacting with each other, and I thought that was completely crazy. Like,
that is very awesome, especially with the shadow people. And that's funny that you mentioned that, because I have heard shadow people, and, you know, I've actually posted stuff on our Facebook about shadow people. They're everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And then, I mean, to me, when I got back, I started thinking about it, and then I was like, are they under the assumption that we can't see them, and maybe that's why they come out, you know?
Oh, right. Well, you know,
then,
a lot of people believe they're just here to observe, or, you know, some people think they're here because they, you know, some people assume they're here to feed off fear, and, you know, there's a lot of assumptions, I guess, about them.
Yeah. And so
I thought that was
like one of the coolest EVPs I ever got, because you know, I'm in a location and the spirit has the assumption that I can't see them, and then when a medium sees them, you know, that spirit's like, oh, you're interesting, you know?
Wow, yeah, definitely. And, you know, working with a medium, I mean, you know, here you got, I always joke around, all of us on the team do, is like when we work with mediums, we're like, we ain't got six cents, we just got five, you know? What you're saying. But it's a very interesting, you know, it's awesome. I don't know. I guess some people, because I know the question I get asked a lot, and I know a lot of our team members get asked is, do you get scared? And I'm like, honey, no, I actually don't get scared, because I've seen things that would probably make you go to the crazy house because you think he's crazy. But if I got scared that easy, I don't think I'd be in this kind of business.
Right? Yeah.
But
I mean,
yeah.
I'm afraid of kooky people before I'm afraid of spirits.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, it's like you go to Walmart. That's scary.
Oh man, I know.
Yeah, alive people are scarier than the spirits.
Oh, tell me about it. Oh, buddy, I can tell you some stories.
Yeah. Any given point in time, I'm pretty sure I'm like two ghost stories away from being slapped with a King James Bible, you know? Just.
Oh, my God, I know, right? And you know, around here, it's like, and I joke, like, and I make posts like this all the time. And, you know, all my family knows how I am. I'm very open about who I am and what I am, because if you can't accept me for who I am and what I, you know, my beliefs, then don't accept me at all, because my beliefs, is that doesn't make the person I am. But I always joke with them, because a lot of that gets thrown around, and when it does, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I get naked and I dance around bonfire when the full moon, okay? That's part of my, you know, everybody laughs at me because that's when they know I'm irritated at somebody. But,
yeah.
You know, you got to let it roll off your back and make a joke out of it. And, you know, that's something we all do in our group. We're big. I mean, you know, laughter is the best medicine for anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
it is something that, you know, once you get into a group, it's something that you really deal with all the time, and you have to either let it affect you or just kind of roll it off and roll with the punches, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's like negativity, and that's something I tell everybody. And, you know, when you let it in and let it affect you, it affects every aspect of your life. It really does. But, you know, when you let it go, let it roll off and say, you know what, I can't control it, then, you know, let it be. I'm going to choose to be positive and let the positive in. And I choose to block negative people out of my life. I don't care if it's my mother-in-law or whoever. I'll block them out.
Yeah. You know, and when I come across some of these Bible thumpers, I call them, because we got a lot of them down here in East Texas. And, you know, when they start throwing, you know, beliefs out of me and whatnot, I'm like, I bet you I'm more spiritual and more
godly
than you.
That's exactly right.
You know, and I'll start throwing out scriptures, you know, I say, oh, really? So the spirit world don't exist is what you're telling me. And I said, well, why don't you go in the scripture and read about when Jesus talked about when he came back after crucifixion and told his disciples that I am not a ghost, I am here in flesh. Well, why is he referring to a ghost to begin with if they don't exist? You know?
Well, let me tell you, and this is something that I've really, you know, I preach to everybody. I'm like, listen, you know, it's not right for somebody to sling Bible verses at you when they have never sat down to actually comprehend what is in the book. I'm sorry, but how can you be such a hypocrite to tell me who I am and what my beliefs are supposed to be when you don't even live by what you worship or, you know, it's just wrong. It's people are so hypocritical these days and they're so judgmental. And, you know, I have Christian friends and that go to church every Sunday and Wednesday, but you know what? They live the life, you know, that they're not hypocrites. They do what they know they do wrong, but they try to correct that. They don't judge me because I have different beliefs, and that's the way it should be. You know, a lot of people around here in our area, and we do have most of, I'm telling you, it's bad in little small areas like this, but they'll have no trespassing signs outside their house because if, you know, you'll have people coming around trying to tell you about their religion or whatever. And I welcome them in my house, and it's so funny, and this is a true story, and I tell everybody. But I had a lovely little couple come in the house, and I honestly, it's so funny because I left my bra laying out on the couch, and they come in, and I look at them, and I say, I'm so sorry. I really do have a bra on. This is just my clean one, and I folded my laundry. So, you know, I'm always like that with people. But they was like, okay, it's okay. And I'm like, everybody laughs.
Nice.
But when they come in, I was like, they told me it's okay to question your faith because, mm-hmm. you know, God tells us we're supposed to. And, you know, we got deeper into the conversations, and I started asking them questions about, like, UFOs or ghosts or, you know, Bigfoot. And I've asked them if they've read certain books, and they haven't. How can you possibly go around and preach your word when you do not take the time to look at everybody else's and realize that it's really all the same? You just got different rules and regulations.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I get this a lot, but people are like, oh, you're messing with spirits. You're going to go to hell.
Exactly.
I'm like, you know, I don't know if you understand this or not, but smoking cigarettes is a form of suicide. You know, so essentially you're killing yourself every time you light up a cigarette. So you can't sit here and yell at me for that, you know, while you're sitting here smoking a cigarette in my face, because you're liable to go to hell just as much as I am.
My response to all that, I always look at somebody when they tell me that, and I say, well, let me tell you something. The only being that can tell me where I'm going and what I'm doing and can judge me is God himself. Nobody
That's
else
exactly
can
right.
tell me where I'm going to go, you know?
Well, you know what I always joke and tell everybody? I said, you know what, if I'm going to hell, I'll meet you down there.
Nice.
I do, well.
Outlaw was only partially right, because I can judge him. I reserve that right to do that.
I mean, you know, people don't know. I mean, you know, it's just they're blinded, I guess. I mean, that's all I can think. They are very blinded, and they don't really know, especially around here. They're taught what to know and what not to know. They're
not taught to
look outside the box and realize. I mean, and that goes for me. Like, religion is the same way. Like, I consider myself spiritual. I don't set myself to a certain religion, but I don't go around telling people they're wrong. And, you know, around here, there is no New Age shops around here. And as soon as somebody tried to start one up around here, they got shut down, and they got harassed. And I was so sickened. I was so sickened by that. It's that bad around here. We have no New Age shops. He actually, it was so bad, he started putting, like, eggs for sale, $4 a dozen, so people would know, you know, this is where I live and you can come to me. And that is wrong. That's very wrong.
Well, you know, it's like that here. You know, I'm in a fairly decent-sized city. It's got about 90,000, and we can't even get a Hooters in here because of the churches.
Let me tell you this one. I hate to break you up a minute, but, honey, it was illegalized for dancing to be in our town at one time.
Wow.
Yes, no, it made the papers, honey. Yep, sure did.
Wow.
Wow.
You guys got to leave enough space in between the people for the Holy Spirit, I think is what they used to say.
Exactly, but you better be sure that we have a bar every 5 seconds away, and there's a church about every corner you come to. I'm serious, but it's like this, though. If people wasn't so judgmental, they wouldn't be so many church, because people get mad about somebody else's, like, you know, but they're so hypocritical of each other. And I'll tell you something. We've actually made good friends with a guy here, and he is a ordained minister, and I love him to death because he is not judgmental. He actually has beliefs like us, and he's actually helped us on cases where he's come in and blessed homes for us. And he started his own church. He is amazing. I love him to death. And he's actually got some people that's telling him he's wrong, because he invites anybody in his church. It don't matter who you are, your gender, race, sexuality, he invites everybody. And he's had some backfire from that, but you know what? He's still doing what he's doing, and he's an awesome person. And to me, that is a real Christian.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, the worst example of judgmental would be Jeff's favorite topic, Westboro Baptist Church.
Those guys.
Woo. Yeah.
It's a woo. Don't even get me started on that one.
I studied these I have studied these, for lack of a better term, people for quite a while now. And they never cease to amaze me with just how low they sink.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that goes back to sometimes you just got to walk away and say, you know what, you keep being stupid and I'll be me, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of falls into the same with the paranormal field. I know your team was formed, 2012, and Mark, myself, and Jeff have been involved, you know, numerous years with the field, and it just seems like it's getting worse, and it kind of falls the way people look at us, you know, from the outside looking in, judging us. You got the same kind of judging going on in the field itself, where you got teams that tell, you know, if your team does a certain way of investigating, you'll have teams
that will
shun you and say that that's not the right when there's no proven
formula
how to investigate, you know?
Most definitely. I agree there. And, you know, just like us being, as far as our group goes, we have only been at it for 2 years. We have been going hardcore, but people assume that you have no experience before that, that you have no kind of, before this, like, I've been through stuff. Me and my husband, and all my husband's life, he's researched. He's read books from cover. He's read the Bible, like, I don't know how many times. He's read all these other books. And, you know, we've really been educated on a lot of the subjects. And that's what people don't realize. And they judge and say, well, they're newbies. They don't know what they're doing. But, you know, everybody on our team, I think I'm the youngest on the team, actually. And I'm 29 today. But,
Don's listening. He's in the chat room, and he wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Happy birthday.
Thanks. Sometimes it's on Friday the 13th, and that's Gary's favorite day.
Absolutely.
He's a big horror fan. He makes the short films. He likes doing horror films. That's how we met.
Oh, nice, nice. I wish I knew more people like that around here because I'm real big into doing video nowadays, but nobody I know wants to do anything, so it's kind of like...
Oh, let me tell you, we like...
I don't get nobody to do anything.
All you got to do, Martin, is hit me up.
Heck yeah.
Let me tell you what happened, is how me and Gary met, and we are the founders of Black Mountain Paranormal Society. I was actually working in a local community center here in the area, and talking about... bubble thumpers. But anyway, he had come looking for an area to start filming, doing little short films. He was actually working on Zombie Queen is what it's called. And I was like, hey, I love stuff like that, you know? And I was like, sure, I'll help you out. And me and him got together and we done this and he filmed it. And we went to different locations around the area. After it was done, I quit the local community center. I wanted to throw a community Halloween party, and one of the ladies said directly in my face, very not nice, yelling at me, said, do not call it a Halloween party. I don't believe in Halloween because that's the devil. And I looked at her and I said, not everybody has your religion, honey. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to walk away from this. I can't deal with it no more. And, you know, it's just ignorance. But, after that, me and Gary's like, I don't want to stop from here. And I wanted to start a paranormal group years and years ago, but I was living away, and it wasn't very possible. So I think as you get older, you get more of a, you know, everybody's got a dream to chase, but when you really want it, I think you can put it together and accomplish anything. And that's where we started. And actually, most of us on the team are kin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but we love it. It's, like, awesome. But we are actually getting ready to do an event October the 26th with Justin Chase Mullins. He's doing a gallery reading, and that's the first in our area. So I feel like we're breaking down these barriers. And that's what one of the things I was talking about is this is the – and we're going to do a ghost tour, and that's going to be our first one. So I'm kind of nervous about it because we've never done anything like that before. But we're doing it at these two houses that we investigated last year. But it's awesome for this area because there's never been anything like it here.
Yeah.
Mom.
That's pretty awesome. So, no, I mean,
yeah, and you know,
that's got to be a great feeling. You know, that's got to be a great feeling to know that you know, people are actually opening up about it and letting more stuff.
See,
you know,
these ladies. Yeah, these ladies that I talked to, because I went and met with them, and at the end of our meeting, I said, you know what, I'm going to applaud you guys, because I got to commend you, because not many people are open-minded like you guys. And I said, this is going to be opening up a new thing for this area, and it's a good thing. And, you know, I can honestly say last year we actually done a presentation at the local library, and
yeah.
I was so happy with that. And there wasn't many people there, but I was still happy about it because – no matter if it's one or two people, that's one or two people that you get to educate on the paranormal field.
Mhm. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's what it's about. I can end on that. Myself and my team last year did a big conference in this area. And in a town that's never held it before, and it was a great turnout. So, you know, when you can start opening doors and opening people's minds a little bit, you know, that's a good thing.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And for us, and it's so funny. It kind of tells you how people always expect something in return, and. Expect you to ask for something in return. And for this event, you know, I said the only thing that we're asking, you know, is nothing, first of all, but, you know, what we're going to be getting out of it is the publicity. And the publicity isn't for us getting recognition, it's to reach people, because no matter how many fans we got or how many investigations we've been on, there's still people around here that don't know we're here. And for me, to reaching out to them people that really need us to come out and help, that's the best feeling in the world.
Mhm.
But it's a great thing, and it makes me proud because not many people will stand up and for their beliefs and first of all, the paranormal field around here. Usually they're shunned or put back into the hole that they've been sitting in for years, because you'd be surprised of how many people that want to say or speak to somebody about their experiences, but they can't because they're so afraid of being dubbed crazy.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then, you know, like up here in Dallas, it almost seems like every paranormal team is working on a TV show, and it's like,
yeah.
I mean, it's weird. I mean, because up here in Dallas, it seems like every team is about to be the next Ghost Adventures, and they're doing paranormal like it's never been done before. And it's like, and I'm like, every time I hear it, I'm like, really? I mean, you guys are investigating
locations,
right?
You know, even if we got that kind of, you know, if we got that far, I don't think they could handle us, because every other word we'd say would be beep, 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 beep.
But yeah, I mean, it's pretty funny how the paranormal has changed within the last, I mean, even the last 4 years. You just
We lost Holly.
Oh.
We got Gary still.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Awesome. But, yeah, what I was saying is, like, even the last 4 years, it's just paranormal has changed so much. I mean, when I got into it, you had to do physical research, and you had to, you know, get as much as you could about a location, and then based on what you get collected or whatever, that, you know, that's the outcome. But now, I mean, it seems like so many people are just like, they go to these locations dressed up like a metal band, and it's like, you know, and it's so crazy. It's like, really, I mean, have you tried actual simple research before you go and dub everything a demon? You know, you're not in a spiritual warfare right now. I mean, first find out if the location's haunted, you know?
Right, yeah, you got to do a little investigating first.
I've decided that from now on, when I go to cases, I'm just going to deem whatever I find a dog.
Nice.
Yeah.
So a client asked me, what do I have here? Well, you have a chihuahua that died at about the age of 3 months. And he followed you home one day because he thought you had dog treats.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Oh, man. Well, hopefully Holly will get back on with us. But
yeah, she's our talker. She's pretty good. She's better than I am.
Now with y'all's team and everything, do you guys like doing residential or commercial places more?
Yep. Well, we mostly do residential. We have done a couple of commercial, you know, like radio station and stuff like that. We've actually done another radio station in our area, local radio station, WNBA.
Oh, cool.
But mostly, surprisingly, it's residential around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rare nowadays. Mostly for us, like where I live out here in the Dallas area, most teams get together and they want to go investigate like all the hotels and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
right.
at least they know what they're wanting to do as far as a team, you know, and then the teams that want to do residentials, hopefully they know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the only hard thing with trying to find somebody to come investigate your home up here in the Dallas area is, like, you don't know if they're coming to help or you're going to have to call somebody else to clean up their mess, you know?
Exactly. I mean, we've encountered that. You know, luckily we've only encountered it once, but I know what you're talking about. It is a mess.
I have a foolproof way guaranteed to get you results and into different people's homes for investigations.
Okay.
I just go knocking on random people's doors, and I just say, can I investigate your home? Sometimes they say yes. Sometimes they say no and call the cops.
Yeah.
And I have to get out of that.
I believe we got our other guest back when we get her on here.
There we go.
All right.
Yeah, we got her.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
I don't think it locked me.
I think the spirits cut you off.
I think they did. They're like, this girl's too mouthy. Let's get her hunting off. I'm mouthy. Once you get me started, I'm like, yeah, please shut this girl up.
Voice behind the mountain.
I can't even remember what I was talking about. That's how bad and mouthy I am.
No, but what I was talking with, is it Greg?
Gary.
Yeah. Oh, Gary. What I was talking with him is I was asking if you guys like to do residential or commercial locations more. You said you guys are doing more residential nowadays.
We do. We really do. And you know what? That's one that I love because for me personally, I love helping people. I love giving them that confirmation or either getting in there and helping them to figure out what's going on. And a lot of people just want confirmation. They want you to come in and say, please tell my husband I'm not crazy.
Right.
But,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. The thing, what I like about the commercial investigations, what we run into a lot with residential cases is some people, they like to stick around with the whole family. And you know, I try to be nice as possible, but, you know, I've really bared down lately and, you know, really told them for us to come in there and do a thorough investigation that we prefer it to be us and that's it. But, you know, we always want to work with our families. But what I like most about the commercial investigations is we're usually there by ourselves and we're able to let loose and, you know, do that more thorough investigation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I can't talk. They make fun of me, too, because I get on the local radio station. They know me down there because they'll make fun of me because they'll say, instead of flyers, I say flyers. So I got on there and said, you were going to be at Heritage Days handing out flyers. And so they said, Holly, you're going to be, you know, handing out some solar flares? So I was like, sure.
Nice.
Yeah, I get on there and make a big deal about myself.
I think for me, like, one of the best things about doing residential is, you know, you never really know what you're walking into.
Exactly.
I mean, it could be just, you know, some old house with spirits in it, or you could be dealing with, you know, some Native American spirit who's, like, completely angry. And it's like, for me, that's why I like residentials and commercials.
Yeah.
Commercial buildings, I kind of like them because you know exactly what you're going into, you know?
Well, you know, I've got to say, on this last case we went on, especially around here where the history, you might go into it thinking you know the whole history of the building, but little do you know is previously that building was something else, and before that building was something else, and before that the ground was something else. You know, it gets really interesting.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And,
also, like, when you get EVPs that, like, really just match up with the history of a location, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And some of these cases that we go on, it kind of irritates me because there is no history of, you know, a situation that we've come across, or, you know, with our medium or either with EVP, and there's no history of this little boy that passed away in a home, or, you know, and we have no way of knowing if they're connected to the land. And I'm like, man, I wish I knew, because I'm like, I'm one of those happy ending persons. Like, I don't like movies that just leave you hanging. It's got to be happy ending or I'm not satisfied.
Right. Yeah, I feel that way about some EVPs, too. I mean, like, you know, when you're in a location, you're trying to figure out what's going on, and then you get EVPs like, I like crackers. You're like, that tells me nothing.
Yeah. Right. It's like, what's that got to do with this? Are there some deeper meaning to it?
Martin, that tells you everything that they feel like you need to know.
Exactly. It's like, should I bring you some crackers?
Like, next time I'll bring some saltines to the investigation, you know?
There you go.
I'd
be hungry.
Or do you like them unsalted? Or do you like crackers and milk?
If I was dead for 5 years and had not eaten in that time, I'd be pretty hungry, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For sure. And I don't have to worry about showering because I never did, you know, when it rains. Get my shower here.
Maybe I need to start doing like we do for Santa Claus and just bring cookies and milk every time I come to a location.
Yeah, for sure. Be like, you know, I know you like cookies. Like, what kind do you like? You like chocolate cookies?
Who doesn't like cookies, you know?
I know, right? That's the reason I got obeser at one time.
Oh, man.
Definitely, though. And, you know, it's interesting on some of these cases, too. You come in and you'll be like, on last night, we was offering the spirit a cigarette. You need a cigarette? You know? Because, you know, back in the day, because this building at one time was a big retail clothing store for the high-end people. And it was so funny because we was talking. It's like, well, this is where the rich people come to shop. I would be dumpster diving. But, you know, we offer up a cigarette. Like,
it's funny that you mentioned
that.
It's funny that you mentioned that because we used to have another lady that used to be a part of my team. And every time we went somewhere, she would go outside and have a cigarette. And she told us that her question when she went outside, she would always ask the spirits if they wanted one. And one of the last investigations that she was on with us, she was like, hey, do you want a cigarette? And she got an EVP that said, I don't smoke.
Cool. I mean, some of the little things people really don't think about. And, you know, you wouldn't think you'd get an EVP response or something like that. But, hey, you know, when you're going to the field, and that's what makes it so interesting, too, being in the paranormal field. It's like, because you can go in and test these different theories and you know, and that's what I like about us is, like, we can rig anything up. You got country folks, and we'll be like, hey, you know, you get somebody smart in there, and you got somebody to put stuff together, and you just rig something up and take it in the house and test it out. And, you know, that's how people get it done, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, with you know, with your team and everything, and every team runs across this, but what for y'all, what have y'all ever ran into, like, like what other people would consider the dangerous side of paranormal, like, you know, bringing stuff home and having to deal with spirits from a location.
Like playing with Ouija boards. Oh, that's a big thing around here, Ouija boards, and people think, oh, it's Milton Bradley, though. I'm like, honey, you got a cell phone app, a Ouija board. I said, it's still considered scrying, people, come on. And, you know, we've come into situations where people will set out their audio recorders continuously for hours every day just trying to pick up on something coming through, and I have to explain to them. I said, listen, you are opening up a portal for communication for things to come through, and it's just not something that's in your home. Everything else is going to come through that also. And, you know, mm-hmm. we've had cases. We had one last year, and this is the same one that the ghost box was calling me. You know, something was coming through mean and calling me names. The home was kind of potent because the, and I hate to pry in people's personal business, but that's one of the things that we unfortunately have to do when we go on some of these cases, because we have to know this information. When we went in, it was obvious that someone had some issues in the home with drinking or depression. I mean, you can tell. I mean, if I'm not a psychiatrist, but you know, I have that knack for, you know, if you have that sense, you know there's something not right. And they did, you know, after I, because I try to be very sensitive about asking too far into questions, but they did tell me that the woman in the house had drinking issues, and that she at one time, they found her in the basement with her eyes glazed over black, and she was doing the whole, the crawl thing. And I'm like, okay. But it's rough coming in some of these cases where that is the situation, where people has personal issues, and people don't realize that negative things are attracted to them situations.
Oh, yeah, so yeah.
And we've got Gary here, and he works as a prison guard, and so he could probably tell you some stories about stuff they've seen. Yes.
Pure evil right directly in the eyes.
I can only imagine, man. Holy crap.
Yeah.
They've seen dark shadows in through there, and I said, I believe it, because they deal with some of the most evil people in the world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those people are not there because they love everybody, you know?
No.
That's exactly right.
They're there because emotionally they're just distraught, and they can't function like normal people, you know?
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, going back to going into investigations, and around here and everywhere else, drugs is a big issue right now. So I have to be sensitive about that. But, you know, I've had clients that I've tried to help out that I've had to ease in and ask the questions, any drug abuse or anything. And some of them get kind of standoffish about it, and that's what gives me the signals, you know. But they don't realize that they do bring in negative things when they get into that lifestyle.
Yeah, and oftentimes I deal with people that, you know, they want to be in the paranormal. They're, you know, yeah, I want to get a team going, and it's like, and my initial response is like, A, find a less expensive hobby, because this hobby is going to drain you dry.
That
yeah,
is true. And, you know, people, you know, around here have and are trying to start groups, but what they don't realize is the work behind it.
I
take care of all of our paperwork and everything, and we have waivers of liability, and all we go through the proper way of doing everything. And, you know, we always reassure people in privacy and everything. They don't understand everything that goes into the work, because it's not like Scooby-Doo and we pick up a flashlight and go off and solve these mysteries and it's hunky-dory. And no, that's not always the case. It's not always sunshine and rainbows.
Right.
I mean,
it's
a cheap thrill. I mean, if you want to go ghost hunting, get in your car and drive up to a haunted location, I mean, sure, go right ahead. But when you're in a group and you're out here, you know, claiming to help people, don't abuse that.
Exactly.
Well,
and another thing
I was just going to say, we're down to about a minute and a half, and I want to give Holly and Gary an opportunity to throw out their website and Facebook.
Oh, yeah,
and the
sure.
Internet.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, definitely. like, if anybody wants to find us, we're on Facebook. You got www.facebook.com/Black Mountain Paranormal Society. And you can also find us on Tumblr. You can find us on YouTube. And I'm a big Googler. So if anybody can just go into the Google or you know, wherever you go through, but I'm a Googler, you can type in Black Mountain Paranormal Society, and we should pop right back up there for you guys to check out. And we also, you can contact us through email. It's Black Mountain Paranormal Society@gmail.com. A lot of people do contact us through Facebook, and that's one of the quicker ways of doing it. And yep, that seems to work better than anything. But you can find videos there, and we post investigation, EVPs, evidence, and stuff like that on everything that we can.
Awesome.
Well, so nice meeting y'all and able to talk to y'all.
Yeah.
I think this is my first. I was nervous.
And see, later this month, you're coming on the other show that I do on Tuesday, so I'll get to talk to you.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be after our event, so that's pretty cool, too.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be closer to Halloween. We have cases lined up like crazy.
Cool.
Nice.
Yes, but we appreciate you guys so much.
Sure do. Thanks for having
us on.
Yeah,
awesome,
and
guys.
Don says, goodbye, girl.
Don is one of our biggest fans. I love you, Don. We got to give our fans a big shout out. We appreciate them so much.
They
support us, and they've done more for us than I can mention, but you guys are awesome.
Nice.
Well,
I'd also like
go ahead,
give a big shout out the ones that wasn't with us tonight, Matt, Mandy, and Josh. David helps us out sometimes. We appreciate y'all so much. Y'all do a lot of hard work, and we really appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much for you guys coming on, and I wish y'all all the best of luck with your event coming up. And
so much for having us and putting up with me.
And I'll talk to y'all again after your event and see how it went.
Look forward to it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, you guys have a great night.
All right.
Thanks
a lot,
you
guys.
See ya.
All right. That was Black Mountain Paranormal Society.
Nice.
Cool. It's cool that, you know, they're a newer team, you know.
It is cool to talk to newer teams. They got their
heads on right and doing it the right way. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely, they're headed in the right direction, and I can see them being around for a good while, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's a good thing, you know, and like I was going to say earlier, on Ghost Hunters last week, I still watch that show just to fill some time when I don't have anything else going on. they had the Allen House on there. And Jeff, if you get a chance, Jeff, you need to go watch that episode on the internet, because me and Dad got pissed. Because of the way that they made it sound like Mark and Rebecca had reached out to the TAPS team to get evidence on what's going on in their house. They already know what's going on in their damn house.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And,
I think if I'm not mistaken, I think that's part of the whole TAPS waiver, that when TAPS wants to investigate your location, they have to make it look on the TV show like they're reaching out to find out what's going on.
Yeah, and they couldn't explain. They were trying to figure out the whole doppelganger thing, which that's what they played on the entire episode. And, you know, Rebecca's has had experiences where somebody thought she was in the house and she wasn't, or she's seen her son, thought her son was going in the bathroom and he was actually downstairs. So there is actually things going on there like that. But
now, where's the Allen House located?
Monticello, Arkansas. But yeah, they didn't get a lot of EVPs, Jeff. Imagine that.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, you know, and they were focused on Liddell and her suicide and all that. But what they don't realize is there's a lot of the family members there in the spirit form.
Yeah.
It's not just Liddell, and but. Whatever, you know, but like I said, if you get a chance, Jeff, yeah, you need to watch it just for the simple fact you'll be like, man, what the fuck?
Right.
Nice.
But yeah, next Sunday, and I told Ram when he was on here last week, I said, yeah, I'd like you to get on Sunday show so you and Martin can talk again. And Ram Ramirez will be on the show. He is a really cool guy, very, very knowledgeable of the paranormal, and him and Jody hit it off really well, you know. But I was surprised.
Nice.
But he'll be on. He's working on a in Spanish language, I guess you say, paranormal show.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I think that's what he was telling me about last time I talked to him.
Yeah. Yeah, they're getting ready to start filming here soon.
Cool.
So,
can't wait.
That's who we got on next week. So tune in tomorrow for Full Spectrum Unleashed with Matt and Dennis. And Tuesday is Terrifier Radio. I'm still looking for a guest. Wednesday is Full Spectrum. Thursday is Paranormal Project Radio. And that's it for the week.
Cool.
Sweet.
So,
do we have any Aerosmith for tonight's radio or leaving song?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can... Yeah, Jeff's taking his crazy medicine, so he's sleepy.
Oh, I got you.
I'm going to get control of the board here and play something. See if that sparks Jeff. I got a lot of new songs. I guess I went to the 21st century. I got an MP3 player. Never owned one. So I didn't. Taking all my CDs and loading them in my laptop and then putting the files on the MP3 player. So I have a lot of songs now on my computer that I can upload to this board.
Sweet.
I think I might have some more Bruno Mars, too.
Oh, yeah. I forbid you.
You forbid me.
I forbid you.
What do you want to hear? I don't see any Aerosmith. I'm going to have to get some Aerosmith on here.
You play Bruno Mars again, and I will give you a Colombian necktie.
You want some rock, Martin?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not playing a damn Kiss. Oh, here's some Ross for you. This is Metallica, Inner Sandman.
Nice. Good night, everybody.
Bye.